Saturday with Conamo Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again, still here with me are Sinn Féin TD Matt Carthy and Labour TD George Lawler, while in our Sligo studio we're joined by Minister of State at the Department of Further and Higher Education, Marian Harkin. Now, I'm sure you all saw the most recent homelessness figures that were released yesterday. They show another increase, recording that in the month of March there were 15,580 people in emergency accommodation. And that number includes 4,475 children. That record high comes against the political backdrop of a fresh row over whether or not a housing czar is needed, and also the concession by Housing Minister James Brown that this year's government target to build 41,000 homes will be, in his words, challenging. During the week at the Oireachtas Housing Committee, the Central Bank and the ESRI raised concerns around the size of the labour force and its capacity to deliver ramped up housing delivery, and building homes on a large scale requires that skilled workforce, and the traditional path to becoming a pipe layer, a plumber, a plasterer, an electrician has been through apprenticeships. Now, I've been speaking to Brian Nolan. He's Assistant Secretary General of the Connect Trade Union. That union represents apprentices. He's been telling me about the data they have, which indicates there has been a dropout rate of 20% among apprentices in recent years. And part of the reason for that is the low rates of pay, less than the minimum wage, paid to apprentices when they're starting out.
We've been pursuing an uplift for apprentices in the crafts, and particularly in construction, to meet that minimum wage. And the reason we did was because the demographic of apprentices has changed over the last 20 years. For a long time, apprentices would have been identified as a young boy or girl, school leaver, entering into an apprenticeship system, maybe 16, 17, 18 years of age. And we now see that the demographic has changed, and the records that show that most apprentices would be mid-20s, maybe in the 30s or 40s in some cases, with one or two dependents and possibly a mortgage. So the dynamic has changed, and the minimum wage that's provided for within construction or electrical contracting or even mechanical contracting could be as much as €3 or €4 below the national minimum wage. So we have a campaign, and we've been urging for changes in legislation to make sure that the minimum wage applies to apprentices, because historically the legislation has absolved employers from paying the minimum wage for apprentices. An apprenticeship is a minimum of 4 years, and for obvious reasons, there could be failures in exams or someone could fall ill. Apprenticeships can take longer than the 4 years. Obviously, COVID came in, changed the landscape, and that's understandable. Since then, it's arguable that the measures put in place have worked in some instances and not in others, because we get mixed reports of individuals who are qualifying in around 4 years and others that are taking excessive amounts of time. We'd have concerns about that, because if you take housing into account, it's our view that without a healthy pipeline of apprentices, you'll never get these houses built. You need quality craft workers.
It's a pretty mobile profession. People could be moving from site to site. Apprentices also have a college element to it. They're off-site hours. And so there's travel involved, and the price of that, the cost of that has gone up. You have concerns in that area as well as to how sustainable it is for apprentices to bear that cost.
Absolutely. When apprentices go to the off-the-job training, and there's two phases of that, phase two, four and six, which would be typically carried out in an ETB for phase two or a third level institute for phase four and six. And in a lot of cases, specifically to deal with the backlog that was created by COVID, apprentices would have to travel the length and breadth of the country to attend one of these facilities. Now, the subsistence and the accommodation allowance has not changed in 21 years at least, maybe more. And we have been consistently raising that matter, and I've only recently sent correspondence to Minister Lawless seeking a meeting about that and other issues. We only recently got the training allowances uplifted in construction, and we're still waiting to have it addressed in engineering. It's nearly 10 years since that's increased. And these rates are all relative to rates of pay in industry. And I should say the difference between apprentices and students can't be missed, in the sense that these individuals are workers who pay tax, they pay PRSI, USC, their employers pay, but their employers also fund in large amounts the National Training Fund, which pays this. So apprentices well cover their existence within industry and society. So they're not asking for a free handout. They deliver as much as they get.
And it should be pointed out that until someone is fully qualified as an apprentice, say in a job as an electrician, they may be there and able to pull wires through a house or whatever else, but the job can't be signed off on as complete until that's a fully qualified apprentice who certifies that job. So, you know, a lack of supply in the apprenticeship sector, it'd be fair to say, or qualified apprentices means that there are delays to building jobs if these people can't be brought to full qualification within the 4 years.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a vested interest here from be it government, be it society, and the individual themselves to get qualified as soon as possible. I mean, the individual wants to earn the best wage they possibly can on the best terms, conditions, and they do improve throughout the apprenticeship. I should say that too, but ultimately you're right. I mean, if somebody is building a house, somebody's wiring a house, the certification all comes from the fact that they're qualified in the statutory apprenticeship system that we have here.
And those offside hours that apprentices need to do at various stages in the apprenticeship, what kind of a backlog is there at the moment and what's causing that?
Well, we're led to believe that the backlog has been dealt with in the main. I can't say categorically because you have individuals who say they're waiting longer than others. And there's a lot of conversations in social media through different groups of apprentices and so forth. Something that has popped up, which is quite concerning, is we've been well informed that there's actually cuts to apprentice funding underway and that the number of classes for electrical in particular will drop dramatically come July. So we expect that unless this is addressed, and it's a question we will be asking the minister given the opportunity, is are we going to create a new backlog going forward? Because there's in excess of 10,000 electrical apprentices in the apprenticeship system. And if the funding isn't there, and the question is, why wouldn't the funding be there, since it's come from the National Training Fund? Where is the money for apprenticeship? And why would there be cuts considered at a time when we need these crafts through the system and building the houses?
All right. And that was Brian Nolan of the Connect Trade Union, which represents apprentices, speaking to me earlier. Marion Harkin, this is under your brief as a Minister of State. You are new to the brief, but first of all, the issue of travel and subsistences and pay to apprentices, they're money issues, which would feed into the retention of apprentices, according to the Connect Trade Union. Could that be increased? Will it be increased?
Well, first of all, he said that the dropout rate was 20%. I don't want to argue with them, but the figures I have is that it's around 10%, which is about half the third level dropout rate in first year. We don't want to see anyone dropping out. So to move on from that, pay is determined by collective bargaining, and the government or the department have no role in that. So what can the state do? Well, for example, if we look at craft apprenticeships, there is a state training allowance during each phase of the off-the-job training. He mentioned 2, 4 and 6. Those are the off-the-job phases. And on average, there's an allowance of €5,000 provided to assist them. I'm not saying it's enough, and I'm not saying there aren't challenges. And right, equally, he spoke about the fact that people may have to travel long distances for this. But there is now a new system in place where people can refuse their first location, in fact, up to 3 times, to get a location closer to home. It's not perfect. The money's in place do present a challenge for apprentices. But the government have invested €339 million in apprenticeships, and that's a 97% increase since 2020.
Even on the issue of, you know, the minimum wage for apprentices, that is a matter of legislation. And by the way, the survey that Brian Nolan was talking about was a survey of 600 apprentices that Connect conducted. That's where the figure of 20% comes from. But on the issue of paying them the minimum wage, for example, you know, people who are in their mid-20s, early 30s doing an apprenticeship, is that not the least they could expect, they might argue?
Well, look, there's surveys and there's surveys. There was a national survey of over 5,500 apprentices for 24-25, and actually 80% of those surveyed said they would recommend it as a pathway to employment. So, you know, there are challenges, and I know what you're saying, and it does depend on the sector you're in as to what your payments are, especially if you're in first or second year.
Sure. But once you move on to the specific issue of the minimum wage, because many of these apprentices are in effect, while they're waiting for their offside hours and completion, are being used as labourers. So should they get the minimum wage?
What I'm saying to you is the government itself has no role here, because these are down to collective agreements. Okay. Between trade unions, workers and their employers. But nonetheless,
on a principled
basis, I hear what you're saying, and certainly something I think should be done to see that people actually can afford to be involved in apprenticeships.
Okay, George Lawler.
Well, the government has said it needs to increase the construction employment by in excess of 50,000 in the coming years if we are to meet the demands that we require to tackle the housing crisis. So the government do have a role to play in it. The notion that any worker would, and as you've said, apprentices, particularly in the first and second year, are effectively labourers to the people they're working for. And the notion that a labourer would be paid below the minimum wage is something that I certainly couldn't agree with. And in the context of the crisis we find ourselves in, where we need to be holding on to many construction workers in particular, whilst we try in any way to tackle the crisis we find ourselves in, anything we can do, and that includes government intervention in the area of collective bargaining in these sectors, because work is transient now, and young people are not like they were 25 years ago, where you went working for a company and you were almost loyal to that company to the rest of your working days. I see youngsters, my own daughters, you know, go from here, there, and yonder, working for different companies, and that can be the case.
So you think there is room for movement on the minimum wage and on travel and subsistence?
It's absolutely necessary to retain the skilled workers in the craft sector.
Mark Carton. So, first of all, I wouldn't put the housing crisis down to the gaps in apprenticeships. I think that's government's attempts to find another scapegoat. But we do, and I wasn't referencing you, your remarks, George. I do think I have teenagers at home myself, and I have been telling them with limited, if no success, that the next generation of millionaires are going to be craftsmen and women and tradesmen and women. And I do think there's a need for a societal shift. Schools are...
You're investing in your retirement there, are you?
Try and take some of the pressure off me to get something done at home. But so I do think there's a need for a societal shift in the value that we place on our tradespeople who are vital to our success as a nation, to be quite frank about it. And yes, we need to improve. If you had a situation where medical students taking a 4-year course all of a sudden found out it was a 7-year course, we'd have a crisis within people agreeing to enter into studies in that area. Okay. The difficulties that have resulted from gaps in the system that ensure that people have to wait longer than they're expecting, and in the meantime earn pittance in real terms for what is very hard work.
I do want to get a specific response from Marion Harkin on something here. We have got a load of texts from apprentices. It's something we'll definitely come back to, because it's something obviously they're hugely interested in. Just on that issue, on funding, particularly in the sector of electrical apprenticeships, Marion Harkin, is funding being cut, and if so, why?
Look, I'm not aware that it is. This is a question I wasn't expecting, but it's certainly not something I have seen. But look, if somebody wants to come to me individually, that's something I can check. But I've certainly no knowledge of what might be happening. And in fact, what I see from the perspective of electrical apprentices, let's say compared to construction apprentices, that their median wage, nothing to write home about, is that bit higher. But I would not expect that's the case, because all I see is that government is investing more and more and more in apprenticeships.
It's an issue, no doubt. We will come back to, as I say, we have had a response to it.